You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, New Zealand was included in a list of countries the US threatened with new tariffs of 12.5%, alleging that they imported goods produced through forced labour. While the government has rejected these accusations, Trade Minister Todd McClay has said that, due to the volatility of the Trump administration, these threats were not a surprise. At the same time, New Zealand has boosted its defence spending, while comments made by US Secretary of Defence Pete Hegseth labelled NZ and other countries as freeloading allies due to their low spending, bringing the relationship between the US and NZ under increasing scrutiny. Last week also saw local government minister Simon Watts reveal changes to local government committees that would strip unelected members of said committees of a deciding vote on changes, in a move to curb what the government says is undemocratic policy, which has been met with criticism. This week, I spoke with National MP Ryan Hamilton about these topics, starting with the US tariffs. Last week, news came that the US may implement a new 12% tariff on New Zealand. This comes as a part of a potential crackdown on the import of goods that the US alleges were made with forced labour. What is the national government's response to these claims, and did the tariffs come as a surprise?
No. Minister Todd McClay has said that he's surprised about the announcements. There's a little bit of volatility coming out of Washington in this regard, so we're expecting a bit of flex, but we're one of 60 countries named, so it's not like we've just been isolated or anything like that. There was a suggestion that we're encouraging forced labour, which we completely reject. And as you're probably aware, we've actually in fact got a cross-party anti-slavery bill coming through the House as well. So we don't really accept that phrasing.
And how do these tariffs and these accusations reflect or affect the relationship between New Zealand under a national government and the US?
Well, we're obviously just focused on continuing to build the relationship and, I guess, navigate these bumps along the road. We sold about 4% more by value to the US than last year when there was no tariff. So, in fact, our trade relationship's actually, well, the transactional value is actually getting stronger. So it shows that we're able to mitigate, that, because obviously US consumers are still wanting what New Zealand produces and they're happy to pay a bit more for it, which is great to see.
And this comes soon after Defence Minister Chris Pink announced rises in defence expenditure to hit a target of 2% of our GDP in the next 8 years. That in turn came the US Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, also criticizing New Zealand as freeloading as an US ally due to our low military spending. What does the National Party say to concerns that New Zealand is doing what the US wants despite the threat of these tariffs and the economic strain caused on New Zealanders by the US intervention in the Middle East?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there's a bit of noise and we don't find those comments particularly helpful. But we are a smaller country, and if you look at what we are doing with the resources we've got, I mean, surely the trajectory of the spending increase based on our population and historical spending shows that, we take this seriously and we're up to do our part in, the international world, of rules and order. So we're comfortable that we're doing the right thing and that we're an ally, we're a supporter and a partner.
Last week also saw local government minister Simon Watts announcing changes to make it so unelected committee members cannot vote on committee decisions. What is the government's logic behind this change?
Well, we've been, clear when we were campaigning previously in 23 around the co-governance model, and we spoke strongly about the need for democratically elected people. And so we repealed the Three Waters co-governance model, and we said, look, we're happy with co-governance arrangements on natural endowments like rivers, mountains, etc., but for publicly funded assets they should be led and held by democratically accounted people. And And then obviously there was an example in the far north where there was a, you know, a huge amount of unelected members involved or appointed and making decisions. And we feel that it's actually enough's enough and it needs to go back to basics.
This government has spoken a lot about leaving local governments to their own devices. How does this intervention match with this ethos and approach?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think, yeah, obviously we want locally delivered, you know, outcomes, local, delivering local. But we've sort of felt we need to first, you know, reset the ground rules because, you know, some councils are saying, yeah, we're delivering local, but we're also tweaking the way that, you know, elected members or non-elected members can have their say. So saying, no, we do want local input, but everyone's got to play by the same, you know, democratic principles, i.e. elected people making those decisions. And even with local government reform, we are actually saying, hey, we're going to give you a head start, because this is something New Zealand has realised for a long time, that we've got, you know, too many council organisations across, essentially 2 to 3 islands of 5 million people. And but rather than just say, you know, like the last government did with 3 waters, and they said, hey, we think you need 4 water entities all over the country, we're actually saying, hey, here's an opportunity for you to shape up what you think makes sense to you, like we did with the waters model, and then come to us with a solution and we'll work with you. We're giving you a 3 months head start. If not, then we're going to shape it up. So we are trying to find that sweet spot of, you know, local decision making versus a need for, you know, centrally, you know, a more cohesive response across New Zealand.
Tauranga Mayor Mahi Drysdale has questioned these changes with the committees, alongside water governance changes to create council-owned companies that cannot be manned by elected officials. When we look at the control here given to unelected officials and to local government committees through these changes, where does the national government see the difference here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if we're going to have any elected representation on those committees or not. I haven't seen that detail. But I guess, you know, in that instance, we're trying to create more transparency around the water entity, and we're looking for a high level of governance experience. What we're seeing across some councils is elected members, whilst that might be a truer sense of democracy, they may not have the competence and skills to run what are essentially going to be multi-billion-dollar operations. And with their ability to borrow more funding or more debt with the local government, New Zealand, they can borrow up to, you know, 100% more than they currently could. You know, that's it's a big mortgage, and so we are trying to ensure we get that balance right. And obviously, they'll still feed into the local government and vice versa, so there'll be plenty of opportunity for, I guess, transparency of process.
That was National MP Ryan Hamilton on potential US tariffs on New Zealand, the relationship between the US and NZ, and new changes to local government committees.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.